I was trying to decide if I'm going to stand up there or down here. I feel more comfortable here, so this is going to be where I'm at. Hopefully I'm tall enough most everybody can see me, right? I appreciate everybody sticking around after the luncheon. I know Robert tried to warn everybody this morning during announcements that I was the one giving the Devo, so that if they wanted to leave early, they could. I appreciate you sticking around. I was also joking with Paul a little bit that I might do the Devo from the AV room because that's where I'm most comfortable as well. You know, sit right there with the microphone. No. Service. When it comes to service, what do you think of? You know, a lot of people that we talk to, when we mention service, they might mention public service. Our fire department, our police department, our public officials. You know, others might mention military service. You know, you ask somebody, where did they serve, or when did they serve? Three different families, Vadomsky, Sisko, and Sullivan. These are families that we probably don't know the name of very well, or at all, but they served. Both Vadomsky, actually all three families had five sons. Had at least five sons. Vadomsky and Sisko both sent all five of their sons to serve during World War II. And they all came home, all ten of them. Sullivan wasn't so lucky. Sullivan had five sons. Only five sons, and they all joined the Navy, and they were all aboard the USS Juno when it went down off Guadalcanal in November 1942. Kind of takes me back to the joke, what's the difference between a pig and a chicken? A chicken gives its produce, and a pig gives it all. Sullivan, their family, they gave it all. Their sons gave it all in the service. Actually, the Navy's put a new rule, a new policy in place that families cannot serve on the same vessel after this occurred. But take it away from the military. Take it away to how we can serve in our lives. You know, who do we serve? What do we serve? I know at work, I have a boss. I got to do what he asks. I have a bottom line on my P&L that I have to make sure is positive. I'm servant to that at work. At school, do we serve others to try to build friendships? But it doesn't necessarily have to just be a person, you know. Do we have a favorite sports team that we have to watch? Or a favorite TV show that we just can't miss? Or is it money? Is money what we're serving? You know, the relationship between man and God, from the very beginning, God stressed who we should serve. Exodus 20, verse 3 says here, "You shall have no other gods before me." Continuing on, Exodus 20, verse 17, it says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's." God's people struggled with who they should serve from Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had a job, take care of the garden. That was their service. But yet they couldn't follow what God wanted them to do. But we even see later in history, we see the Israelites. The Israelites had to have a king. They had a king. God was their king. But they saw the other nations. They had to have their own king. David, we see later on as well in the history of the Israelites. David had to have Bathsheba. He coveted his neighbor's wife. Even Solomon, the wisest man in the Bible, with all that wisdom, struggled in his service to God. You know, that's Old Testament, so let's look real quick, jumping a little forward into the New Testament. The Pharisees also warped the thought of service. The Pharisees were challenging Jesus, as we see in Matthew, asking him what the greatest command is. And Jesus responds, Matthew 22, starting in verse 37, "He said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Just the two commandments that we looked at from the Old Testament are wrapped into these two commandments as well. Jesus didn't change the teaching. He just updated it to what they needed to hear. But that struggle with service didn't stop in the New Testament. The struggle is today. You know, Paul wrote in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have to make a decision. This is not a decision that someone else can make for us. This is our decision. And our decision impacts those around us. We must decide who we will serve. Look to Joshua. Toward the end of Joshua's life, Joshua brought all the tribes of Israel together. And we see in Joshua 24, verse 15, it says, "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua said it very plainly to him. He knew who he was going to serve. He knew who his house was going to serve. The Israelites agreed with Joshua as he was bringing this and challenging them on their beliefs or on their service to other gods. And they acted as witnesses of themselves before Joshua and God, saying that they were going to put away the gods of their fathers. And of course, unfortunately, it only lasted a short time. But back to today, back to us. By our own actions, we are witnesses to who we will serve. We are witnesses to God. We have to ask, you know, we have to ask ourselves, who do we serve? Who do I serve? You can't get the answer from whoever's up here preaching. You can't get the answer from the elders. This answer is your answer. It's my answer. Now, as we saw with the Israelites and David and Solomon, their answers to who did they serve at those particular times impacted them. The Israelites had to obey a king other than God when they put a king in place. David lost the son that was born from his relationship with Bathsheba. Solomon actually taxed the Israelites so much that under his son's reign, Rehoboam, was the dividing of the kingdom due to the policies that Solomon put in place. If we choose not to put our whole heart, mind, and soul into the service of God, that's going to impact those around us. Not just us, but those around us. It could be coworkers, it could be classmates, it could be family, it could be friends. It's going to have an impact. However, the same is true. If we do put our whole heart, mind, and soul into the service of God, that will also impact those around us. We will be the light into the world, as Jesus said in Matthew 5:14. You know, in following up in verse 16, it says, "The same way, let your light shine before others, so that you may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." I've used an example before when I've talked with the teens. If you ever have a chance to go down to a cavern, every cavern I've ever been in, they have the same thing they pull on you when you get to the bottom. You get all the way down to the bottom of the cavern, you've walked down however many flights of stairs trying to get to the bottom of this cavern, and they make sure everybody's in a good place where no one's going to be moving, and they turn the lights out. And it's so dark, you cannot see anything. Put the hand in front of your face, you can't see anything. But then somebody's phone or somebody's watch buzzes and it lights up just a little bit, and all of a sudden you can see everything again. We have to pierce the darkness. If we look, unfortunately, at where this world is going today, at where our country is going today, with the social issues that are out there, with the attacks that are against the beliefs of the church today, there is a darkness that is working to swallow up this world, and more lights are needed. Because in pure darkness, it just takes a little light. And with a little light, someone else can have their shine. The true light, of course, is Jesus. We're just a reflection of his light that he brought to this world. That light comes from his love, from God's love. We see in John 3:16, God's love for us sent Jesus to be our salvation. within the number of the church, and not just this church. When I say church, I'm not talking about Fellowship Church of Christ. I'm talking about the church. We've got to spread the love. We got to know our other brothers and sisters and spread the love. 1 Peter 1:22 says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. And then we take that love that we have for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we share it with the world. We let our light shine. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? There's many times that I'm sure we all feel there's so much mountain against us. We walk out the doors here on a Sunday, and the first thing you see on the news is something terrible's happened. It's almost to the point where it's even painful just to watch the news. But we can't just cocoon ourselves and not be lights to the world. We have to be what Jesus wants us to be. You know, further on in Romans chapter 8 there, says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am sure that neither death nor life, angels or rulers, nor things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of Christ, the love of God, is for his creation, for all of his creation. For us, for our friends that are not members of the church, for everybody. It's our part. It's our duty to do our part. We have to choose who we will serve. Is God the priority or is God the afterthought? Unfortunately, it's a question that we have to ask sometimes. You know, how do we behave when we're not in church? How do we behave when we're at work? How do we behave when we're at school? Are we different or are we the same? How do we behave when we're in church? Do we behave with our brothers and sisters in church in a way that would be that we would show service to God? Church is a great big family. Great big families don't always agree. But great big families, especially church families, learn to work together for the glory of God. Are we the light to the world that we're called to be? Do we strive to be at worship services or Bible classes at every possible chance? You know, it's unfortunate. You can look through history. It's not something that happened this year. It's not something that happened after COVID. This is something that's been going on for as long as I can remember. Attendance Sunday morning, all the seats are full. Attendance Sunday night, it's less. Wednesday night, it's less still. Where are our priorities? Are we making God a priority, and are we taking the time to serve him? We see in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, not neglecting to meet together, as to the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The thing I see about us coming together, the thing that I enjoy most about us coming together, whether it's on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, Saturday at the Taylor's house, this afternoon at the Gafari's house, any chance we have to get together is a chance that we have to encourage each other. And we got to have that because the world's not going to encourage us, at least not to serve God. The world's going to encourage us to do what it wants. We got to be able to encourage each other. The more chances we have to be together, the better it is. You know, COVID changed a lot of things for churches. Changed the way we meet for a while. Changed a lot of churches throughout the country as well as throughout the world. Churches had to react to the ability to not be able to meet in a building anymore, not be able to meet face-to-face anymore. What I do with the help of Paul and Victor and Keith and a few others on Sundays and Wednesdays is a service to those that don't have the opportunity to make it. Because some don't have the opportunity where they can make it to those services. Live stream gives you the option to do that. But I don't know how y'all felt whenever we were trying to live stream and none of us were meeting together, but worship service live stream is not the same as worship service here. We have to have the fellowship. We have to have the chance to encourage each other face to face. Livestream can't do that. Now, for those individuals that can't make it, I think indirectly of Larry and Sarah Cummings. I don't know how many of y'all have ever received a card from Larry, but I can almost tell you once every other month or so, I see a card from Larry encouraging me or encouraging my family and what we do. Without a doubt, appreciative. Service doesn't always, there's times we can't be here. There's times you can't be here. But there's always the opportunity to serve. And how do we do it? How do we serve? So kind of going back to the question that Joshua asked, and I'll start just wrapping this up. Who do you serve? Where does your priorities lie? Our answer should be the same as Joshua's. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That should always be our answer. So as you go through this week, whether it's to work, to school, maybe a golf course, maybe just out with some friends, keep those thoughts from Joshua in mind. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make sure we represent that as a light to the world in our actions and our behaviors beyond here. God's love for us is eternal. From the very beginning till we see the very end, God's love is eternal. Our service should just be the same. We should reciprocate that love back to Him through our service every chance we have. I'll leave you with those words. I invite you to stand and sing with us during the closing song and the closing prayer.